This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring in our friend Nate Ulrich from the Beacon Journal, Ohio.com. Nate,
hey.
How are you?
Hey, Nate.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Now, Nate, I mean, was it a very stressful Wednesday night? I mean, we were all watching on TV and the supplemental draft. We had all gathered around. We had supplemental draft parties. I mean, it should be the second biggest day.
We had a mock draft for it.
We had a mock supplemental draft that didn't work out for us. Nate, did it live up to your expectations?
And what is Tom Cousin doing now?
Yes.
Well, actually, it was more noteworthy than usual, so we can say that, right? I mean, two guys were taken for the first time since 2010. Many years, nobody's taken. So we knew there were a couple guys taken or who were going to be taken who were considered worthy of draft picks. You know, so there's that, you know, and I think the Browns were definitely interested in Sam Beal. You know, John Dorsey was there at his pro day wearing the John Dorsey sweatshirt that nobody could miss, front and center for that workout. So, you know, he was interested enough to show up there, but obviously he went to the Giants.
Nate, training camp ready to get it underway with 25th or 26th here. What happens now over the next 10 days or so? Do the coaches start scrambling and say, hey, we forgot to teach them how to be in a huddle. We forgot the onside kick. I mean, are strange things happening, or are they pretty well under control?
I think they're pretty well under control. You know, the guys are going to start to report on the 25th, and they've all got to be in there by then. And then the first practice is the 26th. That's also the first one open to the public. And then Saturday, when would that be? The 28th? That will be the first day in pads. So that's kind of the schedule. You know, you guys know at this time of year, really the coaches and GMs throughout the league just don't want to hear their phone ring late at night. You know, this is the downtime. This is the vacation time, and they don't want anybody getting in trouble, so they don't want that phone ringing. But there are guys who, you know, are back at the facility, are working out there, you know, Demaryius Randall, Jarvis Landry are some of the newcomers who have been around Berea, you know, this summer and have been working out there. So, you know, some guys are there, but, you know, pretty soon, right around the corner, they're all going to be there.
I almost had a minor little heart murmur here this morning when I – was reading ESPN, and I went to ESPN, and one of the headlines was NFL's best and worst offensive arsenals, 32-1 weapons ranking, basically talking tight end, running back, and wide receiver. And as I was going through the 30s, I was like, the Browns aren't here.
Right.
And then I was going through the 20s, and I was like, oh my God, the Browns aren't here. And then I got through 15-20, and I'm like, oh my God, they're not there. The Browns were ranked 13th. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be a good year. Is that fair? Do you think that the Browns' arsenal is 13th or somewhere around there?
Yeah, I think they're talking about – it was Bill Barnwell. I read it too, Andy. That's the thing. I scrolled through it just like you. I had to laugh because it reminded me of when I was doing it, and we're so used to seeing the Browns, like you said, in any of these rankings.
Right.
Near the bottom, and you just kept going and going. You're like, okay, yeah, you know, I could see it.
I mean, seriously, I was cheering. I was cheering when I was reading. I was like, oh, my God, we're 13th.
You're happy because
this is the greatest thing ever.
You went from 30th to 28th. No, all right, we're improving.
I'm just used – and, Nate, we're just used to seeing any list with the Browns say 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. I mean, I'm just so used to it now.
We are. And, yeah, I mean, we've been conditioned to that, and it's been reflected on the field. But I think that's – you know, that I thought that ranking was – pretty realistic because, you know, you just look at the skill positions on offense, you know, and at receiver, your starters are Josh Gordon, who wasn't there really for the last 3 years, except for, you know, the last five games last year. and Jarvis Landry, a three-time Pro Bowler. So, you know, that's a new receiving core right there. Your running backs are all new except for Duke Johnson, and he was arguably the best player on the team last year. You know, without Joe Thomas on the field, I think you could make a strong case for that. So, you know, you got add Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb to that. I think that's a pretty promising group. David Njoku, still unproven. You know, the Browns obviously expect big things from him, expect to make him their you know, full-time starting tight end. It was a first-round pick last year, and a lot of people like him, you know, coming out of Miami. So there's some optimism there. But he might be, you know, one of the bigger question marks in the skill position. So, you know, when you look at that, there are some weapons there. You know, all know it comes down to quarterback. But
yeah, they also have some weapons on defense. So, and weapons. I mean, you talked about the offense. So, in an ideal world here, coming off 1-31 for Hugh Jackson, in an ideal world, are they a successful running team or a successful passing team?
Well,
What do they want to be right now?
Yeah, I think they want to be a successful passing team because, you know, if you look at Todd Haley and you look at the Steelers and, you know, even when they lost in the playoffs and all the points they put up, he knows you have to put up points in the NFL. In today's NFL, the grind it out with the running game and play great defense, you know, that formula can work sometimes, but it's rare. And it's all about putting up points on the board. You know, the rules are geared toward that with the passing game and the restrictions on defensive backs and the restrictions on guys rushing the passer and, you know, what they're allowed to do when they arrive at the quarterback. So I think it is all about passing. I think that's the way the league is. I think Todd Haley had Le'Veon Bell, but really, you know, I think that if they had it their way, they would be a prolific passing attack.
Nate, are you looking forward to Hard Knocks? I wonder if it's going to change the way people walk around the room, you know? I don't think it is because there's cameras always all around, and I know the Browns always have their cameras around. I think it'll be a little bit more, but I also think this could be a golden opportunity for the organization to show that things are going in the right direction.
And they definitely agree with that notion, and that's why they're doing it. You know, they think that this is the year where they're going to rise, and, you know, they want everybody to see that although they were a laughingstock the last couple of years of the league, and, you know, 1-31 is the worst, you know, a team has been in league history in two seasons, that they've got people working, you know, around the clock to reverse the fortunes of this team, and they want people to have an inside look at that. And I am looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun and interesting, you know, to get that behind-the-scenes look. Frankly, I'm a Hard Knocks fan. You know, I've watched every season for a long time. I've probably seen most of them. I think I've watched them all for, like, the last 8 years. You know, some seasons are better than others. You know, the show, I think, hasn't been as juicy as it used to be in recent seasons, but I think the Browns can bring that back. There are just so many storylines, personalities, characters on this team. And of course, it's all under the, you know, there's the theme of this team, like I said earlier, trying to rise from the abyss. And you throw Baker Mayfield and his personality in there and, you know, a bunch of the other guys who are entertaining, and I think you're going to have a pretty good show.
Nate, obviously the quarterback position has to be a key, but who are you looking for to come forward this year that maybe on the bubble may not be expected to do much? But who's the secret out there?
Well, I think Emmanuel Agba is a key player. Not that he, you know, is a totally under the radar player, but I think that he was really putting it together last year when he broke his foot, and I key on Agba because I think if Agba can stay healthy, that's going to really allow Myles Garrett to unleash his potential. And, you know, the easy answer for a breakout year is Myles Garrett. But I think that Emmanuel Ogba is vital to it. That's not to say Myles Garrett isn't good enough to create on his own, but I do think that, I mean, just look at the way the game is played. You know, if you're able to devote extra attention to one end and really not have to worry much about the other, then Garrett's going to face double, triple teams consistently. But if Ogba can, you know, be a presence for the Browns and take some of that attention away from Garrett, I think that's really going to allow both of them to flourish. So I think Ogba is a guy who's a little bit, you know, kind of on the back burner when you talk about, you know, the most important players on the roster. He's not one of the guys on the tip of your tongue, but I think he's very important.
Nate, I don't know if you had a chance to read Crane's and the D. Haslam article. We're going to get to it a little bit later here, too. I just want to read one quote to you, and I just want to get your reaction. D. Haslam minced zero words when talking about the way things have been going. She said, we don't blame him, she said, about the fans being frustrated. I mean, we're sitting there in that stadium with them, and my mother quit watching. D, I can't watch you anymore. That's just terrible. What are your thoughts on that? D. Haslam's mom said, I can't watch this anymore.
I'm glad she said that to her, because that's how the fans feel. And, you know, I they understand that. And I did read that Q&A, and, you know, she said a lot of good, you know, things that make me think that, hey, you know, she really gets it. She understands what they put these fans through and that they've got to turn things around, you know, because – let's face it, we always talk about a generation of Browns fans that hasn't seen a winner. And then when you add the 1-31 the last 2 years and you see the attendance drop the way it did, you know, these are bad times for the Browns. So, you know, this is the time to, you know, turn it around, bring Hard Knocks in, get some good publicity going, and then back it up with some wins, you know. And I think they have the roster to do that. I'm not, you know, getting carried away with optimism. I know some people are throwing wild card playoff predictions out there.
Mike Holmgren just gave me my playoff tickets last week.
Exactly. I think it's realistic and reasonable to expect this to be a stepping stone year. You know, maybe that's in the, you know, 6-8 win range. Maybe that's more optimistic than some people are willing to go, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I think that's exactly what D and Jimmy need.
Nate, we always appreciate your time. We read you every day in Ohio.com as well, and, of course, in the Akron Beacon Journal. Thank you, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Nate Ulrich, make sure you read him every day. Great read. Love reading his stuff and always has really good information and always has some good stuff that when he comes on the air with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.